The following message is by Jason DeRoshi, research professor of Old Testament and Biblical Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and content developer and global trainer with Hands to the Plow Ministries. You can find more from Dr. DeRoshi at www.jasonderoshi.com.
It's good for us to slow down and sing more somber music to allow us to feel appropriately about what Christ has done. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We're going to meditate on a single verse tonight. First John chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to be considering several other passages, but we're going to keep coming back to this single verse. It reads, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Pray with me. Father in heaven, I long that every soul in this room would stand in awe of your amazing love. Unmatched throughout history. No human act can possibly compare. Your love shown to us through the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. I pray that you would help us understand more clearly and feel more appropriately your amazing love. May your Spirit, the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, work in this room tonight and be our help, drawing us, wooing us to marvel at your majesty. I pray this through Jesus, for Jesus. Amen. Hell. It's a concept that not many of us slow down to ponder very often. Many individuals irrationally think that if God exists, and if God is good, there couldn't be eternal torment in hell. And I want to submit that because God is good, hell must exist. The very presence of hell declares that God is fully just in his dealings, giving people what they deserve. He is a good judge, and we want a good judge overseeing the universe. He is a good judge who shows no partiality, but instead assesses guilt in accordance with the offense. So let's consider this. We glorify what we revere. And a being of infinite worth deserves maximum glory. Yet all of us fall short of the glory of God, failing to give him his due. Justice is about giving others what they are due. So in not honoring the supreme Lord of the universe as we ought, we show that we are unjust in our dealings. Yet in his directing wrath toward us, God shows that he is indeed just in his dealings. Any offense against an infinitely glorious God demands an infinitely equal punishment. And this is why hell exists and is right and is proper. But now a potential injustice exists in that God would, in love, pardon anyone. How can he remain just and yet forgive sin? Love is no longer good if it counters what is right. And God will not, indeed, he cannot love in an unrighteous way. In Exodus 33, 6 and 7, we read these words. God speaks about himself, declaring, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but he will by no means clear the guilty." So how is it that God can lovingly forgive iniquity and transgression and sin, and yet by no means clear the guilty? How can both be true? How can God remain just and yet justify the ungodly? To answer this question leads us to a central reason that God sent Jesus to earth with a mission to die. And this brings us to our verse. So look at it again. 1 John 4:10 provides a vital component of all Christian teaching by using the language of propitiation. That's a big word. It relates to the appeasing of God's wrath, in this instance, by means of a substitute sacrifice. We read, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." How do we know true love? This verse says it's not seen in how we have acted toward God. Indeed, we have all failed to love him as we ought. Instead, what it says is that true love is seen in God's own remarkable, costly grace in sending his own Son to earth to be a propitiation for our sins. God's just and necessary wrath against our sins gets redirected toward Christ at the cross. Christ's self-sacrifice, therefore, propitiates God's wrath, allowing it to be satisfied on him so that we can know God's love. Proverbs 17:5 declares, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." Let me read it again. "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." God cannot work against his own character. For him to be a good judge requires that he affirm and denounce and punish sin. And we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Indeed, the wages of sin is death, and all of us were dead in our trespasses and sins, and by nature children of wrath. Nevertheless, what our verse tells us is that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is, he died in our stead, taking the wrath upon himself that we deserved. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God counts our sins to Jesus and counts his righteousness to us. As we read a little bit earlier in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus came to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Jesus was able to operate as a substitute sacrifice because he himself was unblemished. Every mere human in all the world deserves God's curse because it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Yet Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who is hanged on a tree." At the cross, God offered Jesus to bear the sins of many. Jesus was our substitute wrath bearer, our propitiation. And therefore, the apostle says earlier in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and now just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Indeed, as he says in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the way it is now, if a Christian does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There's so much hope there. We can't do enough to please our God because he is supremely worthy of all loyalty and praise. Failure to honor him in even one matter is worthy of eternal damnation. Nevertheless, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. With this awareness that propitiation refers to how a substitute bears the wrath that was due another, just listen fresh to Paul's words in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, after centuries of Old Testament grace, so that he might be just and the justifier of all who believe. God's saving love is not cheap. Indeed, it was amazingly costly, requiring the love, the life of his own son. Yet God loved us and sent his son as a propitiation for our sins. If you believe in Jesus, confessing your sins and turning from them to embrace Jesus as Lord, God will count your sins to Jesus and will count his righteousness to you. This is good news. This is love. It's Good Friday. Good Friday reminds us of the good news of God's love that allows him to justify ungodly people like you and like me, because his son bears the wrath that we deserve. Jesus being our propitiation is the only justifiable reason God can simultaneously forgive iniquity and transgression and sin, and yet by no means clear the guilty. Thus Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Because Jesus propitiates God's wrath, you and I can be saved from hell. Thanks be to God. This makes this day that recalls Jesus' sacrifice Good Friday. Hell exists because God is good. Forgiveness exists because God is love. And I stand here today anticipating that not every soul in this room has yet received his love. And I urge you, receive the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John continues at the end of John 3 with these words. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. There's only one way to the Father. Jesus must stand as the propitiation for our sins. And this is accomplished only by believing in him. So tonight, to all in this room, adult and child, God is proclaiming the means for you to enjoy mercy. If you believe in God's Son, you will have eternal life. But if you do not believe but disobey the Son, God's wrath remains on you and you will perish. So I urge you before the eternal judge that you turn from your sins and you trust. You trust God's provision of a substitute wrath bearer in Jesus, who alone is our hope. Life and death find hope only in Jesus. Hell exists because God is good. Forgiveness exists because God, in love, sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. So all of us need to answer, do I receive the love of God? Good Friday is only good for you if you do. Otherwise, God's wrath is real and ever present. You can enjoy salvation from this wrath today by embracing Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And I want to say, if God is dealing in your heart, helping you recognize that this is business that you have not worked on with the Lord, then after the service, come find me. There's no shame in coming into the light. The shame all exists in staying in the darkness. Pray with me. Father, this is Good Friday because on this day, good news became possible. And I pray that all of us, whether we came in these doors believing or came in these doors under your wrath, all of us would find our hearts celebrating your love in sending Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. He alone is life and hope and salvation. Work in us, Father. Draw us to yourself. Only if you draw will people come. Let us embrace your love today. In Jesus I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Dr. Jason DeRoshi. Feel free to make copies of it to give to others, but please don't charge for or alter the content in any way without written permission from Dr. DeRoshi. For more writing, sermons, and lectures, visit www.jasonderoshi.com. Proclaiming the kingdom, treasuring the God who reigns, saves, and satisfies through covenant for his glory in Christ.